Hello and welcome to News Analysis. After 2 days of talks in Moscow, what has been achieved? Iran wants the P5 plus one to recognize its nuclear rights and lift sanctions. It's asked the parties to begin taking a series of reciprocal steps to build trust. The West, on the other hand, insists it wants Iran to stop 20% enrichment. Who is dragging these talks and why? To help us find some answers, I'd like to introduce our guest with us today, live from London, Mr. Christopher Walker, defense and Middle East expert. Also in Moscow, Vladimir Sutnikov, senior researcher of the Center for International Security. And also with us live from Chicago, Stephen Lenman, author and radio host. Welcome, gentlemen, to the program. I put the first question to our guest in London, Christopher Walker. Let's look at the latest news that we had right now, a press conference taking place by Mr. Saeed Jalili earlier on at Catherine Ashton. The sides have agreed that they want to hold technical sessions before they go ahead in Mr. Jalili's speaking with a meaningful dialogue. And Mr. Jalili actually said that this is an achievement. Do you think that this is something new, and would you describe this as a progress that has been made in the talks?
Well, I'm not quite so much progress as perhaps a reasonable sign, because there were strong rumours yesterday on the first day of the talks that they might not actually continue, that they might break down. And the next big session is due in China. That's penciled in the book. And I think these expert meetings, which in themselves can't actually sort out the big problems, give a breathing space and mean that the exercise can go forward. There have been, according to Western officials, some very tough negotiations over the last 48 hours. And I think we have to remember all the time that the clock is ticking. July the 1st is the date that the very tough new sanctions on Iranian oil are due to come into effect.
Yeah, I just go to Moscow on this, Mr. Walker, to pick up on what you just said there. For these talks to move forward, what needs to be said is what Iran wants, what the West wants, whether the two sides can take those reciprocal steps. Now, Mr. Sutnikov, when we are speaking about the issue of 20% uranium enrichment, now Iran has been saying that it is going to be flexible on this issue if it is provided with nuclear fuel. And Mr. Jalili just said it earlier on now, that if it does receive guarantees that it's going to get that fuel, it's going to be flexible on the 20% uranium enrichment issue. But why isn't there any agreement or any serious, rather, dialogue on this issue? Neither of the sides said that they have reached an agreement on this. Instead, they said that there's a meaningful distance and there's disagreement on that.
Well, I think that actually, as my colleague in London said, there were rumors that these talks might break up, and there were some doubts in the Hulak success of these talks in Moscow. But I think that finally, Iran demonstrated its goodwill and about technical issues. Well, if there are technical issues to be considered, so why not to consider them and then thoroughly, and then to finalize a future agreement between the P5 plus one, probably IAEA and international community and Iran. Iran demonstrated its goodwill, I'm telling you again. And that was also done, I think, with the help of Russian Federation, because the fact itself that these talks were conducted in Russia helped greatly to achieve at least a progress in talks, and this is a good thing that the talks will continue.
Right. Well, to Chicago now, Mr. Lenman, let's have your view on this. Stephen Lenman, when we are speaking about the approach that the West is taking on this, what are the reservations that the West is having, especially when you're talking about the United States here, about this issue of providing Iran, for instance, with nuclear fuel in order for Iran to stop 20% enrichment? I mean, Iran says that it has has its needs, and if it's not going to get that fuel, it has to enrich uranium itself. But right now, the impression is that these are countries that are led by the United States here, what they don't want for Iran to do is for Iran to enrich uranium at all. Iran says that's a right under the NPT. So why is the West against this?
Well, it really isn't the West. And these talks really aren't P5 plus one. These talks are P1 plus one that isn't even present in Moscow and hasn't been present in past talks. I'm talking about Washington and I'm talking about Israel. And they're orchestrating everything. Russia and China have no confrontation with Iran. Iran does comply fully with NPT provisions. Iran is the most heavily monitored country in the world. America and Israel prohibit monitors from examining their nuclear programs. They won't tolerate it. Iran is supremely patient. And the other key point is this. The so-called nuclear talks are a red herring. They're a sham. They're a masquerade. They're camouflage for the real issue. The real issue is the same issue as in Syria. It's about an independent government that Washington and Israel won't tolerate. They want puppet regimes obeying their diktats.
Right.
Countries that go along with them get along fine. If it wasn't the Iranian nuclear issue, it would be something else. It was so-called weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It's another issue somewhere else. But the issue is an independent regime versus a puppet regime.
But I'll just
obey
stop you there,
Washington's
if I may.
Orders,
I'd like to
obey Israel's orders, no problem.
Yeah, because we're short of time, just to make this discussion go forward, Christopher Walker in London, Israel and Washington raised there by our guest in Chicago. We do know that reports were telling us Washington has been briefing Israel throughout the process of these talks about the stances that have been put forward here. What role do you think Israel here is playing? A lot of people are saying this is not about the P5 plus one, but the P5 plus two, because even ahead of the Baghdad talks, for instance, Israel was putting preconditions for Iran to follow, and then those preconditions were echoed by the United States.
Oh, yes, I totally agree. The elephant in the room, and it's right in the middle, is the fact that Israel is still threatening to attack Iran. And there is a lot of debate in the West that if the Israelis were to go ahead with such an attack, would they choose to do it before a new American president is elected in November? Or, very, very controversially, during the election, which would make it extremely hard for the candidates, whoever they are, to oppose, because of course the Jewish lobby is so powerful. And I think an extra element here that could possibly be to the benefit of the negotiators is that the troubles in Egypt have given Israel a fairly new front up in the Sinai. It had to send a tank up there this week against right. all international regulations. And I think that could make a raid on Iran more unlikely.
Right. To Moscow now, Mr. Sotnikov. The issue, of course, we know that Moscow, your country, Russia, has been very different in its stances on Iran. Russia and China have always been on one side versus the United States and its European allies on this. So do you think one reason why we're not seeing progress take place is that there's not a unified stance among the P5 plus one group members?
Well, it might be, but Russia, by the words of Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, said that the sanctions actually were exhausted. And I mean, they exhausted the any steps which could be taken for so-called Iranian nuclear program. Problem. And I would like to say also to agree with my American colleague in Chicago that the main thing actually that some Western governments would like not the whole issue of the so-called nuclear problem in Iran to be tackled finally. They would like to see a regime change, probably. This is the main thing. And this is not the question of sanctions themselves, because Western countries could actually undertake any more sanctions, but what good it will do, because that is not the actually the way to decide the problem. I mean, the main thing is just to recognize the legitimate right of Iranian people for a peaceful utilization of atomic energy. This is one thing, and another thing to recognize that Iran actually is doing on its part everything to reach agreement in good spirit and to further the talks and to decide this complicated problem.
Right. Stephen Denman then in Chicago, when you say that this is not about Iran's nuclear issue, that this is something very broader, that you say about the independence of a country, with the United States wanting to go for, in your words, a regime change there. Right now, we're seeing the talks continuing. We're going to see technical talks take place. And then after that, probably another round of political talks between the two sides. How long is this talking process, you think, going to continue? And is there going to be a military threat here? Because, of course, in words there has been, but is it going to take place in action?
Well, I don't think Israel will do a thing unless Washington gives it the green light. I don't think Israel would dare do that. Washington is a big funder of Israel. If Israel offends Washington, every country has its limits. It could act in some way not in Israel's best interest. It's to the interest of both countries to cooperate with each other. Your question is a very good one. How long can these interminable talks go on? China after the Moscow talks? Will there be something else? Will maybe a Washington talks after China? I mean, how long can this charade go on? America never talks about the most important things. Why aren't other countries? There are dozens of other countries in the world that have peaceful nuclear programs. Nobody gets into discussions with any other countries about them. They're not questioned. They're not monitored. They're not interrogated. They're not discussed technical or political issues. Right. Why Iran and no other country in the world, including the nuclear outlaws? The nuclear outlaws, Israel, Pakistan, right. India, they did not sign NPT. Why aren't they monitored? Why aren't they held to account? Why only Iran? I don't know why Iran puts up with this.
Right. We're running out of time. I'd like to give the last comments to Mr. Walker now in London. Christopher Walker, would you say that there isn't that serious will, at least on the part of some members of the P5 plus one group, to have this resolved?
Yes, I don't think they actually want a new Middle East conflict, and the dangers to the oil market are absolutely enormous at a time when Europe is wracked in an economic crisis. But on the other hand, the pressure is growing all the time, with Israel, I mean, chomping at the bit. I don't agree with your colleague that they wouldn't act alone. They might get a secret nod, but they are capable of acting without American full public assistance.
Christopher Walker, defence and Middle East expert, joining us there live from London. Thank you very much, sir. I'd also like to thank our guest in Moscow, Vladimir Sotnikov, CNU researcher at the Centre for International Security, and with us live from Chicago, Stephen Lenman, author and radio host. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being with us. And it's all the time we have for this edition of News Analysis from me, Homa Dezghi, and the rest of the team here in Tehran. Until our next programme, goodbye.